The first few chapters of the Bible cover a lot of ground. Chapter 1 tells us about how God created the heavens and the earth, how with his words he spoke and everything came to be. In chapter 2, we read about the Garden of Eden, paradise. We're not talking about the park over here. This park was actually named after that, the garden where everything was in order. Everything was the way it should be. God and man, people, lived together in harmony. And in Genesis 2:15, we read these words, "The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it." This is important because separation and sin did not enter the picture until Genesis chapter 3. That means work was already something that was there for people, was available to people before sin entered into the world. It's a really important difference because a lot of times we think of work as being something bad, something that's maybe a punishment for us. But this shows us clearly work was there before sin had entered into the world. And work is really a good thing. Work is not only an opportunity to earn money. It's also an opportunity for us to learn more things, to develop social contacts with other people. Work can be very fulfilling, very invigorating for us. But there are people who just don't seem to be able to get enough of it. There are those who don't seem to know what else to do with their time other than work. And they kind of have the feeling, well, why should I just sit around here and do nothing when I could be working more and earning more money? This was obviously the case in the skit that we saw, where the couple both had their calendars so full that they didn't even have a chance to find time to talk about the fact that they were going to be having a baby together. I thought that was very telling towards the end when the lady said, "We used to be so in love, and what are we now? Successful?" Just being successful at your job is something that can really backfire on you if the other aspects of our lives suffer from that. So often, people who are only working all the time forget how to communicate with the people that are most important to them. You might be thinking, "Well, I work a lot, but I'm not that bad." Well, I found an article from Forbes magazine from a couple of years ago that lists five indicators that you might be a workaholic. And I brought those along with me. Number one, if you work longer than your colleagues, you're the first one at work in the morning, you're the last one to leave in the evening. Better be careful about it if that is the case. Number two, if you can't turn off, you think about work when you're at home, you think about work when you're supposed to be relaxing, you think about work when you're supposed to be spending time with your family, you think about work when you're supposed to be sleeping. If you can't turn it off, that's a very bad sign. That's a danger sign that we need to take very seriously. We need to be able to shut the thoughts of work off. And by the way, when we're talking about work here, we're not only talking about paid positions. Students can be in these dangers as well. So just thought I'd throw that in there. Number three, if your body feels unwell. Workaholics tend to develop a lot of bad habits. Eating poorly, not sleeping enough, other things that cause our body to react negatively. So if you're constantly not feeling well and constantly not able to get enough strength, that also can be a warning sign. Number four, if your relationships are strained, just like we saw in the play, the skit that was here in the video just a few minutes ago, if you don't find the time to communicate with the people that are closest to you, to be in contact with them, and I would very intentionally add, if you don't find the time to communicate with God, your Creator. That is a very dangerous place to be. Research shows that marriages with one or more workaholics have a 40% higher divorce rate. I mean, the divorce rate is already too high as it is, but if one or both of the couple is a workaholic, the divorce rate is another 40% higher. And number five, you tie your worth to your work success. Wow. That one's dangerous. How often do we tie our own value, the value that we see our own life as having, to our work? If we're successful at work, we must be good people. If we're not successful at work, we must be bad people. It's a warning sign that work may have received too much attention in our lives. So now, how can work become such a bad thing if the Bible already tells us that work is a good thing? The key here is living within God's plan for your life. God wants you to be able to work. I think it's fair to say that He wants you to be successful at your work, but He also wants us to live in relationship with Himself and with the people around us. In fact, He did something that may sound very strange to us when we think about it. When we read the creation account in Genesis, Genesis 1, we read about the 7 days of creation, and that actually spills over into the beginning of Genesis 2. In Genesis 2, the verses 2 and 3, it says, "And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all His work that He had done in creation." I heard it once attributed to Albert Einstein that he said, on the seventh day, God created rest. He created relaxation. Were you aware that God created the weekend? The Jews were given the Sabbath command as one of the Ten Commandments. I need to think about that too. It's one of the Ten Commandments that you're supposed to rest on the seventh day. Well, the seventh day of the week is Saturday. With Jesus, Jesus rose from the dead on Sunday, on the first day of the week. What 2 days make up our weekend? Obviously, Saturday and Sunday. God created the weekend. And that is truly a case where we can say, thank God. He's the one that gave us the weekend. But somehow we manage to pack these days with plenty of work as well. Of course, there are many professions which have to work on weekends. We would be in bad shape if no doctor, no nurse, no firefighter, no policeman, and many others never worked on weekends. But what is important is that we learn to respect the boundaries that we have. A human is not a machine who can average 15,000 hours of work without a breakdown. We need a work-life balance. I spoke recently with a man who has received a promotion from a high position in his company, basically to the top position. And I asked him, what does that mean for you? Does that mean that you will go from a 50-hour work week to a 60-hour work week? And he said, nope. What you don't get done in 40 hours, you don't get done in 60 hours. It's all a matter of how you plan it. I think he's an example of somebody who understands how to plan his time, how to balance between life and work. And the fact of the matter is, many studies have shown that if we work untold hours, 60 hours a week or something, we are not necessarily more productive than if we work 40 hours a week, because we lose efficiency when we work so much more. And so actually, that doesn't make us better. We just string it out longer, and it wears us out more. God's will for you is that you be fulfilled by your work, but that it doesn't wear you out. God rested on the seventh day. Keeping the Sabbath, as I stated, is one of the Ten Commandments. And Jesus frequently sought time alone with his disciples where they could rest. We have to face the fact that somehow the world did manage to get along without us before we were here. And also the fact that the cemeteries are full of people who didn't have any time. But somehow the world does keep turning without them. God wants us to enjoy our work. He wants it to be something valuable and beneficial for us. But that means for it to be that, we have to understand when we need to take a break. God bless you in finding the right balance between working and resting, and then you will see that God is truly with you. Amen.